You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Jason Gibbs with you here in Dog Pound. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. Download the Browns mobile app for your Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads to get the latest news, videos, and photos straight from the team to your device. 216-578-0850. Talking a little Devin Funchess. I don't know, did you see the video of his dunks and he got his head all the way up to the rim?
You know what? I'm looking at all the stuff right now. I've got his strengths and his weaknesses right now. This is from NFL.com. His strengths: big receiver. He is 6'5", 230 plus pounds. Big receiver with the ability to mismatch corners in the red zone. Long legs that can cover ground in a straight line. Transitions smoothly from catch to run. Build up speed to factor on run after catch crossers. Uses size to defeat press coverage. Good body control and length. Physical with separating hands at the top of the route. Weaknesses: pass catching is labored, allows throws into his frame, and catches back half of football at times. Tagged with 20 drops over the last three seasons. Isn't a lock to high point a throw and doesn't attack throws. Won't win enough 50-50 throws. Stifled by inconsistent passing attack, however, while at Michigan, tends to show monotone one-note play speed. Hard to find a second gear on tape. Bottom line, has mismatched caliber size but lack of vertical talent and below average hands. Might negate the size to an extent. Funchess was used outside and inside at Michigan and had success from the slot. He has the feel of a hybrid player who can be a big guy at wideout or a mismatched nightmare as a move tight end with more weight on his rangy frame. NFL comparison, Gavin Escobar.
All right, so Dane Brugler compares him to Alshon Jeffery. Rob Rank compares him to Alshon Jeffery. All the guys at CBS have him going in the first round to the Browns or Green Bay, and in one case New England, to try to be a big outside receiver and also help replace Aaron Hernandez there. So I do think people like him a lot. I think he does have some opportunities. Max Williams is the other tight end. We just got a tweet from him as well, Aaron A.B., Max Williams. I love Max Williams out of Minnesota. I don't know. He's more of a true tight end and also a guy that you could flex out. Good pass catcher. Had that highlight play against Missouri at the end of their season in their bowl game. I do like him quite a bit. I think he's got a lot of potential as well. Listen, I want the Browns. The bottom line, I think what I'm saying is, and we'll leave this up to the experts to do, I want them to add a weapon on offense. Amen. I want them to add a weapon to this passing game. And I'd actually honestly like them to add two. I'd like them to add one in the draft and one via free agency. There are good options out there at both. I would be totally pleased if you came away with a Kevin White and a Cecil Shorts. I think, you know, could bring him back to Ohio, went to Mount Union. I think that he'd be a good number two receiver. You got Hawk can play 2-3 for you, and all of a sudden you got a pretty good pass catching core. Address the tight end via free agency or the draft as well, and you're in good shape. I've heard a lot of comparisons for him to Alshon Jeffery. If he becomes an Alshon Jeffery for this team, we all would be very, very happy about that. Let's go to Andre in San Diego now. Andre, welcome to the team. How you doing?
Hey, real quick, guys. Three things. First, have you seen the Nike concept helmets that they that's all on the internet? Do you see the Browns one?
I saw all of those, yes.
I'll pass. Second, on Funchess, he has the hands of Greg Little, and we last seen his team needs is somebody with questionable work ethic or attitude, so I'll pass on him. And finally, my Mount Rushmore, Otto Graham, Jim Brown, my favorite player ever, Paul Warfield.
Uh-huh.
And Bernie Kosar.
A lot of people started Paul Warfield coming up. Bernie obviously getting on there. I think Otto Graham and Jim Brown have made basically everybody's team so far. Thank you very much for the call, Andre. Appreciate that very much here today. Also, we want to hear, remember, what Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer are going out there. We've heard what the national media wants to know from these guys. We've heard them get grilled by the national media. So I want to know what you Browns fans want to know from Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer. To me, you know, I would probably, if I was able to ask Ray Farmer one question, it would be, you know, what happened at the quarterback position in the evaluations last year? Why were we down on Teddy Bridgewater? Why did we have Johnny Manziel as our number one quarterback? What were our thoughts really on all the quarterbacks in last year's draft? I would love to just kind of have a post-mortem look at that and see what the Browns were thinking overall in sum at the quarterback position. And for Mike Pettine, I would say, what do you think in your evaluation of this team is the most critical to its success? and not just a generic the quarterback, but something specific on, you know, if we can get here defensively or if we can get there offensively, what are the keys to the absolute success for this team? And how do you feel about the roster and how they've responded to you thus far? And what, you know, another question we've seen people want to know is, you know, at P. Myers Golf says, what's your worst mistake and your best decision in year one? I know what he'd say from the worst mistake because I asked him that. That was the decision to kick the field goal against the Atlanta Falcons that was almost run back if it weren't for the great play by Joel Bitonio. I don't know what he thought his best decision in year one was, and I think he'd probably be the kind of guy that would say, I'm not going to tell you what my best decision is because – you know, we didn't make the playoffs, so nothing. I didn't do anything that was that great.
I was going to say he was adamant after the game, after that Atlanta game. I think he got on the bus when we were going to the airport, going, "That was a bad decision, man. I can't believe I kicked that field goal before halftime."
No, he was very unhappy with himself. Yeah. No question. Let's go to Ed Onicell. What's up, Ed?
How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. My Rushmore would be Graham, Brown, Warfield, and Motley.
Okay.
And one thing, I'm 67. I've been watching Browns football for a long, long time. We have got to stop taking these players like that tight end out of Michigan with red flags. If you want a winning team, you've got to pick frontline players. That's how all these good teams do it.
Ed, real quick, Marion Motley. Explain to our good friend Nathan Zagura about Marion Motley.
Marion Motley was like a runaway bull.
He was a bull.
The Packers downfield, they didn't want no parts of him.
Marion Motley, interestingly enough, holds the record, the Browns single-game record, with 18.4 yards per carry on a game where he had 221 yards on 12 carries against the Steelers on October the 29th, 1950. He led the NFL in rushing in that season in 1950.
Pretty impressive, my friend. Ed, you know, again.
One-time Pro Bowler. Only a one-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, when did the Pro Bowl start?
Good question.
And the whole thing on Funchess, you know, again, I'm not saying if he goes and blows the barn doors off at the combine as a great workout and we end up taking him, great. I'm going to embrace him. I'm just looking at a guy, and Ed brings it up, taking players with red flags. Is there a red flag there? Is there a guy that doesn't have that second gear? Is his work ethic being called into question? I want to know these things. And I – stop taking chances on guys. Pick guys that we believe have the best chance to succeed. I'm not saying you can't know for sure every time, but I want as close to sure things as possible.
So his big red flag is that people think that he doesn't have the work ethic.
Correct.
People like him. Kelvin Benjamin didn't have good work ethic apparently too, if you recall, coming out of college.
Fair
at Florida
point.
State and ended up being pretty good. Why? Because of his size. He was pretty darn big and was able to be very effective as a rookie for Cam Newton down there in Carolina. Now, you could also say, well, he had Cam Newton. That certainly helps as well, and the Browns do need to get that quarterback position solved up once and for all. Let's go to George in Youngstown now. George, welcome to the show.
Yes, greetings from our little piece of paradise down here in Youngstown.
Yes.
First-time caller, so... A couple other things about Marion Motley. Okay, he averaged 5.7 yards a carry as a fullback.
Very impressive.
I mean, he was from Canton, Ohio, went to Canton McKinley High School. And in his entire high school career, his team only lost three games, all three to guess who? Paul Brown's Massillon. How's that for irony?
That is very ironic. And one of our listeners, Sean Beck, sent this tweet. Currently on Netflix, you can stream The Forgotten Four, which tells Bill Willis, Marion Motley, and others, The Forgotten Four, a documentary about them on Netflix right now.
And I would recommend just YouTube Marion Motley. It's true. He was an absolute wrecking ball. And here's 6'1", another
232.
Oh, okay. And the other reason why I think he's an important pick, he's on my Mount Rushmore, autogram. Marion Motley, Jim Brown, Bernie Kosar. Notice how none of us are picking any defensive players. In the history of the Browns, we can't come up with a defensive player. I mean, I would say Clay Matthews, but Marion Motley did play defense too, and that's another reason I'd pick him.
Len Ford would be a Browns Pro Bowler, a Hall of Famer, defensive end. Other than that, you know, you go through the Browns Hall of Famers, you got Jim Brown at running back, Paul Brown head coach, Joe DeLamelier, offensive guard, Len Ford, defensive end. So that's the first defensive Frank Gatzke, center. Otto Graham, quarterback. Lou Groza, offensive tackle and kicker. Gene Hickerson, guard. Leroy Kelly, running back. Dante Lavelli, offensive end. Mike McCormick, offensive tackle. Bobby Mitchell, wide receiver, halfback. Marion Motley, fullback. Ozzie Newsome, tight end. Paul Warfield, wide receiver. And Bill Willis, guard. So it is an interesting point that he brings up. There's only one defender who has ever played for the Browns that has made it into the Hall of Fame.
We got a lot of people, though, that have defensive players on their Mount Rushmore. If you go to Twitter and tweet at us at Browns_daily, asking for your Mount Rushmore. Our good friend George behind enemy lines tweeting at us. Bernie Kosar, Jim Brown, Hanford Dixon, and Otto Graham. I mean, he did start the dog pound for all intents and purposes.
He did that, but it gives him something there.
Yep.
No question. Gives him something there.
Yeah, Mike tweets at us, Otto Graham, Jim Brown, another defensive player, Dick Shafrath, and Ozzie Newsome. Let's see. I saw a good one here. Sarah Tanyan, one of our avid tweeters during the show, says Otto Graham, Jim Brown, Lou Groza, and Paul Warfield. Kosar was popular, but not great.
I think that's fair, but
interesting.
I think that's fair. I mean, I think that's fair. I do think that Bernie, though, is so identified with this Browns franchise for anybody who is probably around our age.
Well, and the closest the team has ever come to a Super Bowl was with him under center.
Yes. Yes. And how about this one? How about Vikings general manager Rick Spielman, who is addressing the media right now at the Combine, which is just a kick in everybody's face and groin. And he said he wanted to thank the media for its part in having Teddy Bridgewater's stock plummet after his pro day. I mean, that's pretty phenomenal trolling, to be perfectly honest about it.
Well played by you, Mr. Spielman.
Jerk. I wish we could be doing that kind of trolling right now. It would have been amazing.
We could have. We should have.
Actually,
Pete Bellini tweets at us, speaking of a mailbag question. His question for Farmer would be, what qualities, skills, and traits did you see in Johnny that you did not see in Teddy Bridgewater?
And that's a question that I certainly would like to ask. I've also been told middle guard Bill Willis defense played the nose tackle. It would be called the nose tackle in the modern day. So two defenders there for the Browns in the Hall of Fame. But nobody from really the modern era of football at all from this Browns team. And really, I mean, obviously, Joe Thomas is probably the only guy that will be added to this list since Ozzie Newsome. He'll be the first person added to the list since Ozzie Newsome.
Yep. It really is kind of hard to believe in the history of this football team that there aren't more defensive players. You know, I mean, some of those 80s teams, those Clay Matthews years, yeah, I mean, there was a year Bubba Baker had 23 sacks, I think, in a season. And that was, I think,
making good rips.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there were some solid defensive players, but no one worthy enough maybe to make that Mount Rushmore.
Now, it is interesting, the Browns did have Gene Hickerson, who went in 2007. He was the last guy to go in for the Browns, even though the most recent player for the Browns who went to the Hall of Fame was, of course, Ozzie Newsome. I do think it will be without a question. I think Joe Thomas is a lock. Joe Hayden, maybe, but I think he's got to play a lot longer and start putting up, you know, and be a dominant top four corner for a long, long time to get into the Hall of Fame discussion.
I would agree, but he's working his way up there. I think he's working his way up pretty quick. I mean, next to Joe Thomas, since the team came back, is he in the top five?
I'm going to make a crazy statement that I know it to be true, but it won't matter ultimately at the end of the day for him. But I think if you were to look at Carlos Dansby's stats alone, Carlos Dansby could make the case that he should be a Hall of Famer.
I guarantee really?
His numbers are every bit as good as Ray Lewis's. Every bit as good as Ray Lewis's.
Now you're going to start something. Now you're going to start a little fire. People are calling. Now I got full phones.
It's a fact. It's a fact. When we come back in hour number 2, we can talk about that.
Because
Carlos Dansby doesn't have the accolades. He doesn't get the Pro Bowls ever. He doesn't get any of the things that he should get for as good as he's been. But in terms of being a difference-making, playmaking middle linebacker, his numbers are every bit as good as Ray Lewis, who many people would say are, you know, he's a lock to be, you know, Hall of Famer, one of the best to ever play the position. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
Let's find out.
We'll find out. Hour number 2.
That's what
Cleveland
we call Browns. In this business.
Zagura and Gibbs coming your way right after this.
Double wide quick stop midnight tea time.